greet you in Jesus' name. Good to be here and study the Word together. And I love the story of Rahab. And just put yourself in her shoes for a little and think about what she was up against. And, you know, she really did. Somebody had made mention that she put her life in the line, and I believe that's probably true. The thing that I was thinking about as I read that story again is the way, so these spies came to her, and I think, I'm supposing, but I think she looked at them, and they looked at her, and there was a little bit of an understanding. I think they knew, and she knew what was up here. But they really had no discussion about what was going on until these men from the king came and said, "We want those two men that came to your house." And she, at that point, hid them. And they had, according to the scriptures, what we have record of, they had never really talked about it, what they were up to or anything. And it was after they left, after those men left, that she went up to the where she had hid them, and she talked to them about what they were up to, what she had heard, what they had heard, and it was definitely a step of faith. And Rahab is actually mentioned in Hebrews 11 that she's one of the heroes of faith, and I believe that it definitely was a step of faith that she took. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to read one verse, sort of, I consider it a text verse, I guess. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Verse 36, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." I've simply titled the message this morning, "Be Patient." All of us probably heard that at one time or another. I often remember, as you know, a little guy, my mom telling me to be patient. Have patience, or be patient. And here, Paul, I suppose it's Paul anyway, writing the Hebrews, to the book of Hebrews, he says, "You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." And I don't know what all, I read the context here some, but the burden I believe that Paul had was, just because we do what we know is right, just because we've followed God's will, we believe we're living the way God wants us to be, we still need patience. We're not necessarily, that's not the end of it. And we don't immediately receive the promises that God has for us, but it takes patience. We wait for those promises. We continue on in the Christian life, It's patience is something we need, every one of us, and it's something that we need to develop and grow in. Patience, I don't need to tell you that patience is not something that we're born with. At least I'm not, and have not been, and probably the same goes for all of us. We weren't born patient, and all you need to do is have children, and you know that they're not born patient. They want something, and they want it, you know, as soon as possible. Patience, as it's portrayed in the Bible, includes the idea of enduring. And to be patient, we're called to endure and to persevere in our Christian life. The Bible also teaches patience as it regards in relation to waiting. There's some things that we don't get immediately, and I think about that in the text verse that I read. you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's some things that we need to wait for. And the Bible also talks an awful lot about long-suffering and forbearance as we relate to other people. And we need to exercise patience towards others and to each other and to our fellow man. And a lot of times in the Bible, that word is, we often read about being long-suffering and forbearing and forbearance. And it not always does it use the, many times it doesn't use the word patience, but it has the same meaning as our word patience. In Galatians 5 and verses 22 to 23, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, and this is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then we have that word long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Patience, long-suffering is included in the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering means being patient and accepting of our circumstances and the events that come to pass in our life, accepting them and believing that God has allowed them, and we don't we accept them. It also we accept the people of God, the people that God allows to cross paths with us, and you know, not everybody has the same goals and aspirations that we have, and not everybody thinks the same things are important, and we have to deal with that and work with people that have different goals than we do, and it takes patience. First of all, I'd like to look at our patient God. God is patient, and I said that patience or long suffering is included in the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is displayed in God's perfect character. If you read, when we read Galatians 5, those couple verses, we see a picture of God in the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's character, and patience is included in that. Galatians 4 and verse 4, in relation to God being a God of patience. Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And what I was thinking about there is when the fullness of time was come. I didn't just figure it out, but it was probably close to 4,000 years before this. God had promised that the answer to the sin problem is going to be a sacrifice, a Savior. And he's going to send his Son to this world. It took 4,000 years to get to that point. But verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. God had given that promise centuries before, and then he patiently waited until the perfect time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son into this world. And then back to 2 Peter, another example of God's patience, 2 Peter 3 and verses 8 and 9, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These verses tell us that God's patience and long-suffering has something to do with Jesus coming to this world the second time. And it has something to do with the reason that he hasn't come back already. Because God is a God of patience, and he's a long-suffering God, and he wants as many people as possible to be saved and come to a saving knowledge of himself. Romans 2 and verses 1 to 4. Romans 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or, and this is especially the verse that I was thinking of, verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It's because of the goodness of God, it's because of the patience and the longsuffering of God that we don't need to experience his judgment. But it's because of his goodness in calling us to himself, his patience with us and working with us, that we can experience salvation. Had it not been for God's patience and forbearance with us, there isn't one of us that would experience salvation. It's because of the goodness and the patience of God. It's God's patient working with us that leads us, that led us to repentance. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're called to run the race that is set before us. We're called to run that race with patience. And verse 2 tells us that we have an example to follow. We have Jesus as an example. Verse 1 it says, we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. And as we do that, we're to look to Jesus as an example. And he left as an example. He lived here. He was patient. He was patient. You look at the life of Jesus, especially thinking about the fact that he didn't have to come to this world, but he did. And he was patient in the things that he suffered. Many times he was really patient with his disciples. When you think about how hard he tried to get concepts and new concepts across to them in this new and living way that he was ushering in. And he spent hours and hours teaching them, and only to realize that they hadn't gotten it. And he continued to work with them. And even at the end of his life, Peter was still... He was willing to deny Jesus, deny his Lord. And yet Jesus was, he patiently looked at Peter. At, you know, when that cock crowed, Jesus gave him that look. And I don't think it was a look of condemnation, but it was a look of love and a desire for Peter to repent. And he did. He was patient. Jesus was patient with those who opposed and misunderstood him. We have Jesus to look to as our example, and through his life we can understand in a much broader way yet the patience of God and God's love to us and his patience and long-suffering toward us. Now I'd like to look just a little bit about the things that try our patience. What tries your patience, and what causes you to become impatient, maybe? Number one, in this life, we face testing, and we face suffering and testing. James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And back to Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12, 12, we're to be patient in tribulation. In James 2, we read, or James 1, we read that the trying of our faith and the temptations and the tests that we face, they're things that try our patience. I believe temptation, we all know what that is, and the things that we face and we struggle with to live in victory, and maybe we have victory, and a week later we face that same temptation again, and maybe in a different way, and maybe in a much stronger way, but called the patience in the temptation. It's one of the things that try our patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 8 to 10. And this is Paul writing again. Second Corinthians 12:8. And this is familiar verses. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And we don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was that Paul was facing here. We don't know what that was, but at any rate, he besought the Lord three times that he would take it away. Probably all of us have situations in our lives that we could think of that we would like to be different. We wish they could change, and we wish they would change. Many people believe that this thing that Paul was facing may have been a physical issue. Maybe it was his eyesight. I don't know what it was. But it was something that bothered him, and he wanted it to change. All of us face situations that we wish we could change. Maybe it is physical thing, something physical. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's, you name it. Life comes with inconveniences. Life comes with inefficiencies that, try as we might, we cannot change them. And I think it's right that we try to change some of those things, but God calls us to patience. And there's some things that he doesn't remove, or he doesn't change for whatever reason. And it's something that tries our patience. Another thing that tries our patience is this thing of waiting. How many like to wait? I hate waiting on things. I already read one time, and I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. But I read about how many hours in your lifetime you wait at traffic lights. And I hope it's different up here than it is in Lancaster County. But there is a certain amount of truth to that when you think about how much time you wait at a traffic light. Or... Wait, you wait. wait for an appointment. Go to the dentist's office and you sit in the waiting room. There's a reason it's called a waiting room, because that's what you do, you wait. And we wait in line for lunch when we have fellowship meals. We wait. And we wait in line at the airport sometimes for customer service when a flight gets canceled or changed. And I don't think there's ever a time that tried my patience like about a year ago or a year and a half ago. We were sitting in the airport in Charlotte, I believe, and I think we waited in line about 6 hours for customer service. It went to the one end of the airport, and this was just like a big long line. And there was a couple flights that had been canceled, and we were supposed to wait in line to get our updated flights, and so we did. It was interesting to watch how different people take waiting. That was interesting. You needed something to pass time, and it was interesting to see how different people handled the waiting. Sometimes we wait for God to answer prayers. And maybe he just, you know, we pray and it seems like he's not really giving us an answer. And we wait. It tries our patience. Waiting is a part of life, and it takes patience to deal with it. Remember, you're going to have some waiting to do in life. And you can either do it patiently or with any number of other reactions. And this morning, my challenge is to each of you is that you wait patiently. Another thing that tries our patience is people. And that's probably the one that most of us can really relate to. I mean, I can. There's people I deal with, people that cross my path that I think different than they do. I have different goals than they do, and it takes patience to relate to people. Some are slow, and I wish they'd get faster. And there's some people that have an inflated ego. There's some people that think they're always right. And then there are those that simply have no preference at all. And we wish they would say what they would like, or say their preference, or share their opinion. And they act like they don't care at all. And it tries our patience. There are those that are inconsiderate. There are those that think only about themselves. And regardless, my mind goes back to this thing of waiting. And there's people that, they'll set a time up. We're gonna meet to do something, and it's a no-show. And they'll come half an hour late, and they don't seem to care that you were sitting there half an hour waiting on them. And how can you be so inconsiderate? It takes patience. Husbands and wives, it takes patience to live together. And I think that's part of our marriage vows that we make, that we promise each other that we're going to dwell together in patience, and we're going to be patient with one another. Our children will require patience. It takes patience to work with children. We need to exercise patience with each other in our own church and brotherhood. And I think of it especially right now. We're talking about an issue about this proposal at Morris. And there's differences of opinions, differences of how should we proceed? And to myself, it looks black and white. And somebody else, it's black and white too. It's just that my white is his black. And we, it takes patience to work together and to come to conclusions. The Bible speaks often about forbearance and long-suffering, being forbearing and long-suffering in our relationships with one another. You have need of patience. So our text verse from Hebrews 10:36 says that you have need of patience. And the question I have is, how do you get it? The Bible says you have need of patience. And so how do we grow in that? And how do we become more patient? And when I was a six-year-old, my mom told me to be patient. How do I become more patient? And the third point I have, the third part, the message that I'd like to look at is is growing in patience. And I'd like to just share a number of things that I believe will help us in the various things that we looked at, whether it's being more patient in the things that we face in life, this thing of perseverance and endurance, this thing of patiently waiting on God's timing, or whether it's patience as we relate to others. Number one, remember and recognize that how patient God is with you and how patient he has been with me in my past. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verses 13 and 14, we have these verses. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And that's a beautiful picture of God as our Heavenly Father and his care for us, and he remembers, he understands that we have weaknesses. Remember and recognize that God is patient with us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16, we have this verse. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And Paul was saying that if anybody needed the longsuffering of God, well, he did. The things that he had done, the things that he had, the mistreatment that he had brought on God's people. He needed God's long-suffering, and Paul recognized that. One more I'd like to read. This is a passage I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 18. Very familiar parable, a story that Jesus told. But I believe it helps us to understand the patience of God and our responsibility to be patient in life, and especially as it relates to how we relate to other people. Matthew chapter 18, I'd like to read verses 23 to 35. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. A picture of God's patience. We have experienced the patience of God, and one way to grow in that patience is to reflect on that and think about God's patience towards us and his willingness to extend patience towards us. And then we're to go and do that likewise. Do as treat others the way God has treated us. Another way to grow in patience is to focus on the eternal. And that I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, it's so easy for us to get all bunched up about the suffering and the inconveniences, the things that we face in this life that we wish would be different. And it's so easy to focus on these things and expend an awful lot of energy on trying to change them. These verses call us to look at the eternal. Look at the big picture. Look at that they're but for a moment. They are so short and so that it's such a small thing to face when we compare it to eternity and in light of eternity. And as we face things in life that we wish we could change, think about it. It's but for a moment. Someday it will be different. Number three, also remember that God is using all the events and circumstances of life to bring about our ultimate good. And turn to Romans chapter 8 for that one. Romans chapter 8, very familiar, very familiar verses. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. Remember that everything that we face in life, as we have a heart after God and we love God and we have a desire to do his will, he uses those things, whether they're good times or bad, whether it's suffering or things that we find enjoyment in, he uses those things for our good. And I believe it's a way that as we remember that, it helps us to become patient and be patient with the things that we do face in life. Number four, remember that others need to exercise patience with us. While we need to exercise patience with people, just remember that you're a people too, and there's people that are extending patience to you. And we need to remember that we require patience to live with. And it may be kind of an humbling attitude, an humbling thought, but we do need to remember that. We need to remember that others are exercising patience towards us, and we need to extend that same towards them. It's sort of like, it's sort of like I've seen one time the example of complaining, sort of like complaining about being stuck in traffic. And the conclusion was, you're not in traffic, you are traffic. If you're stuck in traffic, you are traffic. I thought that was kind of an interesting observation, and that's how it is with this idea of patience. We all require patience to live with each other. Let's remember that. And number five, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. How do I grow in patience? How do I become a more patient person? Verse 12 and 13 of Colossians 3. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Becoming a patient person, or being a patient person, I said in the beginning, we're not born with it. It doesn't come natural. And this verse says, verse 12 says, put on therefore. And patience is something that we need to put on. It requires something on our part. It's not something that God blesses us with patience, but it's a choice that we need to make. We need to choose to extend kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, and we need to forbear and forgive, and even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put on patience. And then Philippians 2, 3 to 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You want to grow in patience. You want to become a more patient person. Then be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talks about humility and esteeming others better than ourselves. Follow the example of Jesus. Hebrews 10:36, you have need of patience. It helps us to accept where we are in life. It helps us to accept the inequities of life. Life isn't fair. It's not. There's things that aren't fair about life. And it also helps us to accept and forgive those that we live with. You have need of patience. Grow in it. Let's kneel for prayer.